This next story here on KNKX is from our weekend show called Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host, Jennifer Wing.
Today, our theme is what a mess. Garbage. It's messy. Across Washington state, there are dozens of places where, for decades, people dumped their garbage completely unchecked. Old cars, refrigerators, busted toys, containers of leftover paint. Now, most of these sites aren't active anymore, and while they're being monitored, they're too small to get state or federal money for cleanup. One of these dumps is finally getting overhauled, thanks to the discovery of some old documents. It's called the Gorst Creek Landfill. People have been unloading their junk in this ravine since the 1940s. It's in Kitsap County, a few minutes from downtown Bremerton. Sound Effect contributor Anna Boyko-Wyrock paid a visit and brings us this story.
Back in the day, you could drive up to a clearing in a forest full of evergreens, to a ravine filled with trash, and you could put your pickup truck in reverse and dump whatever you wanted. Medical waste? Sure. Paint thinner? No problem.
You look around and all of a sudden you'd see 20, 30, 40. Wait a minute. Wow, there's a lot of bowling balls.
Even bowling balls. Grant Holdcroft works in public health for Kitsap County, and his work brings him to the Gorst Creek landfill a lot. Of all the trash here, Grant hates the crumbling yellow furniture foam the worst.
Because of the water level going up and down, and this stuff would just get hung up in the trees and the brush. It would be like some sort of foreign Christmas tree decoration thing happening.
The place is also full of shredded fabric, old shoes, and shards of glass, all cemented together with mud. So full that the deep sides of the ravine disappeared and became a flat plain. But water is the even bigger problem.
You would see this huge lake of water extending up behind the landfill, and that's always pretty impressive. It's a ton of water.
That's Janet Brower. She has a habit of sending a wink at you when she smiles. As the manager of the county's waste program since the 90s, this place occupies a lot of days and some fitful nights.
I'm not a good sleeper anyway, but when I would hear it raining hard on my roof and I would sit there thinking, oh goodness, is this the night the landfill has finally failed?
Water pooled behind the giant pile of trash because it was built on top of Gorst Creek.
So in the wintertime, when the rain is heavy and the stream starts flowing, the landfill is in the way.
You're standing up on the edge of this lake. You're looking at all this water and you know how deep it is. And you're thinking to yourself, if you slipped off that edge, you were going to be in the water and it was cold.
Grant and I are standing at the edge of the artificial lake. And so then you would literally have dreams about accidentally falling in?
Yeah, slipping into this thing, yeah. Oh, sure.
When most people talk about Grant and Janet in the landfill, they use their names side by side. Grant and Janet usually say we.
Every time that there was heavy rain, we would be out and we would be checking this.
They were checking it so often because a lot was at stake. For Chinook salmon, for Puget Sound downstream, and for people too. Especially the Suquamish tribe in the city of Bremerton.
I was worried about fish health and the habitat of the creek, and I was worried about the Bremerton watershed, where there's, you know, potential for hazardous waste to move downstream, end up in the groundwater, and end up in somebody's drinking water in the city of Bremerton.
Also, one more really, really important thing, about 100 yards away from the tons of dammed up nasty water is Highway 3.
It's the only land route onto the Kitsap Peninsula.
It's a major road that connects the community to hospitals, jobs, and the rest of the state. If a major earthquake or tsunami ever hit, Kitsap County residents would need Highway 3 to get help or evacuate. That's why Grant had nightmares and Janet couldn't sleep. For years, they fell into a routine.
We'd get into the office and Grant and I would look at each other thinking, well, we better go out and check and see how bad it is this morning.
Grant cut back the blackberry bushes so they could get to the water and check their homemade measuring system.
One year we spray painted a tree with orange fluorescent paint, and that was our markings.
Other years, they used a wooden board and chalk. Janet and Grant also took samples of the water to measure the contaminants.
Lead, mercury, copper, zinc, DDT, PCB, semi-volatile compounds associated with wood and wood burning.
Each time Grant and Janet would go to the site to check the water, they took photos and emailed everybody they could to keep it on their radar. They wanted the site to get cleaned up. But that was the hard part, which eventually took decades of work. The first issue was finding the money. The old owner was no use.
She was bankrupt. I mean, she didn't have any money to do anything. So, you can hardly get people like that to pay for a cleanup.
And after declaring bankruptcy, she died. So they changed strategies. Janet and Grant approached the state of Washington. No luck there. In the early 2000s, the State Department of Ecology didn't think the dump was a high enough priority to assign someone to oversee. Over the years, Janet and Grant pivoted from one approach to another. It was frustrating.
This is an obvious problem, we thought. The hazards are high. There's hazardous waste. There's potential to impact the road. There's all of these things. We thought it's obvious that this needs to be addressed.
They eventually got the Environmental Protection Agency involved.
We sent it over there and it kind of sat for a while, and then we would call up and say, what's going on with this site, you know?
I remember EPA coming over and saying, hey, let's have one of our researchers go through your files. And so one of the researchers went through our files and came up with that contract that the Navy had used the landfill and had contributed a significant amount of waste to it. Not just a little bit, but a lot. And that was one of the turning points.
27 years passed from 1989, when the landfill was closed, until January 2016, when the EPA got the Navy to agree to pay to clean up the mess because the Navy had contributed so much waste. The cost is $27 million. Cleanup started last April.
We'll go here first.
I hear a lot of plane traffic.
We're just a mile and a half from the Bremerton Airport.
That's Jeff Roden. He's the on-site coordinator for the EPA at the Gorse Creek landfill. When the cleanup first started, he was out here 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, for 7 months. Jeff loves his technical terms, like air filter, respirator, conveyance channel, and stockpile. One foggy day, Jeff's excited to show me and Grant around. We look over the ravine that used to be filled with trash.
And where we're standing is the original surface of the landfill, although we've cleared all the debris off the top. Previously, you could barely walk across the top. We've excavated down about 40 feet from where we're standing.
The EPA sorted the gunk into piles.
Well, basically, we're at about another 4 to 6 acre field, and we kind of set it up in a circle, and we have various stockpiles. Each stockpile is covered for the winter with a little bit of soil.
So when you say stockpile, it's a big platform of dirt.
A big platform of dirt with berms all the way around it so things would not wash out during the rainy season.
There are also piles of neatly cut granite blocks, originally from who knows where, and heaps of concrete to be recycled. They've pulled out truckloads of tires and contaminated dirt. At this point, the cleanup is over halfway done. Today, the water still pools behind the landfill, but not as much. Instead, it flows on top of a plastic channel over the top of the dirt and trash. That's what Jeff calls a conveyance channel. The EPA is planting trees and shrubs on the side of the ravine. Someday, salmon will swim through here to spawn.
The salmon previously could not migrate through here to get further upstream where there is more habitat and more wetlands.
Walking away from the landfill, Grant leans over, mouth agape, pointing at deer tracks in the mud.
That's an indicator that there's hope that this may turn back to normal someday. I was pretty resigned to the idea that it was going to just be a kind of a blight on this part of Kitsap County. If nobody had done anything with this, it would not have gone away in 10 years. It would not have gone away in 20 years. It would still be here in 50 or 100 years causing a problem.
Instead, in 50 or 100 years, this place should look like it did originally, before trucks backed up and jammed it full of dangerous urban waste. The old landfill will no longer be a landfill, but a deep ravine covered in trees and bushes, with a creek pulsing through it, no longer filled with trash, but hopefully filled with life.